up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Roku. I don't know if you can subscribe on Roku. I'm just naming things. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. Joining me, as he always does, on Thursday to talk about the fantasy week that's coming up. Probably your semifinals, not your championship. I don't know why I thought that when I tweeted that out. And I'm surprised, Heath Cummings, that I didn't get more responses from people on Twitter, especially after you retweeted. I've gotten like five questions. I mean, people are always, like, every time you tweet or Jamie tweets or Jamie Eisenberg or Dave Richard tweets, like, you could tweet, "I love chocolate chip cookies," and someone would reply with, "Should I start Ware or Diggs this week?" Like, isn't that true?
That is 100% true. Normally, that doesn't bother me. There are occasions when I'm tweeting about something that I think is kind of important that has nothing to do with fantasy football.
Right.
That they respond that, and I just want to say something, but it's probably a good thing they're asking me. When people stop asking me entirely, that's probably a problem.
That's actually that's a great point. When people do not care who you are choosing to start in fantasy or who you like or dislike in fantasy, that means that your opinion in fantasy is irrelevant, and that means you are unemployed. But your opinion is very relevant to us. We're going to talk about the Thursday game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. We'll cover Carson Wentz's injury. Go over some other quarterbacks you should be worried about, flex stuff. And I would say send your questions to me now, but by this point, we're recording on Wednesday. It's in the future, so don't send.
You're not just going to answer questions all day on Thursday?
I might. I used to do it where I would do like a Facebook answer questions, but I always find that when you're not an actual listed fantasy expert, it tends to, you don't get the same, the traction's not there, and then people get mad when you're wrong and all of that. I don't know.
People still get mad when I do like the fact that you started to qualify yourself, and you didn't, you were going to say, well, you're not an actual expert, and you're like, well, you're not a listed, because you do view yourself as a fantasy expert.
I mean, Eric Kay thinks that I view myself as a fantasy expert. I think I play enough fantasy football and I've been doing it long enough, and that regular football and fantasy football cross over enough that, I could qualify. I made the playoffs in 11 of 13 leagues this year. That's not bad.
That's very good, Will.
Yeah. Missed it in the 26 person office league and, in the 12 person league with my 7-year-old cousins. Most points went 4-7-1. That's fantasy football for you. All right. Let's talk about the Chiefs. And the main reason why I won a lot of leagues. Can we mention a bad beat? Did you see the score between me and Matt Coca in the dynasty league that we're in?
But here's the problem. You're not really mentioning a bad beat. If you were Matt Coca, then people would enjoy hearing about how you just lost by 0.02 points on a pass defensed in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to hear how you won a pass defensed in the fourth quarter.
That's true.
They only want to hear about your misery.
Nobody wants to hear me gloat about winning a dynasty matchup. You're right.
What would be better is if by the time people hear this podcast, stat corrections happened on Wednesday night and you actually lost.
Oh God, you're right. They can still come on Wednesday night, can't they? I will be devastated if that happens. Do they do all stat corrections on Wednesday night? They do, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So yeah, I could, that would be pretty painful. I've lost, I missed the playoffs multiple times because of a stat correction and some other bad beats. So it happens. It's fantasy. I'll deal with it. Thursday night though, the Chiefs and the Chargers. I've explained to you how this game is going to go. I'm telling people now for wagering purposes on this game. Here's how you wager on it. You bet on the Chargers in the first half. They're plus 2.5 in the first half. You bet on the Chiefs in the second half. And if at any point during the live betting window, if you see something pop up on your site and the Chiefs are underdogs because the Chargers score early, hammer the Chiefs as underdogs. If you get any points with the Chiefs, hammer them. They're going to win this game. The Chargers are going to lose in horrible fashion. And I think there's a viable case, Heath, despite the fact that the Chiefs defense stinks. I'm doing air quotes here. That because of his struggles there, that you could consider not starting Phillip Rivers on Thursday night.
Well, I tweeted about this earlier in the week. In his last four games at Arrowhead, he has 2 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions.
That's terrible.
He has been awful in that building. Now, he's still a very good quarterback. This is still a bad defense. Although, in Arrowhead, they've not been as bad. There really haven't been quarterbacks that have gone there and blown up in Arrowhead. And I expect Eric Berry is back for this game. I think he makes his return on Thursday night.
The Chiefs, you saw their hype video, I'm sure, right?
Yes.
Yes. They sent out a tweet and it's like a hype video for the game with lots of shots of Eric Berry, but they don't actually say Eric Berry is back.
Now it'll be interesting because Eric Berry and Antonio Gates have had some clashes over the years. Not in a bad way, just going at each other and competing. They were two of the best at their position at one time. I don't know which one's going to be slower now. But, no, I think Kansas City wins this game. I think you're probably starting Rivers.
Yeah.
There are quarterbacks that I would start over him. I would rather start Jared Goff against Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather start Mitchell Trubisky against the Packers. This is the one that I'm going to say, and you're going to say, would you really start this guy over Philip Rivers?
Can I guess who it is? I know who it is.
You know who it is.
Is it Josh Allen?
No.
Russell Wilson?
You were very close with your first guess.
Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And I just think that game against the Chiefs, he took another step, and he was just a Chris Moore drop away from an enormous fantasy day.
Mm.
We've been teased by Lamar Jackson's potential numerous times. And we've seen the floor. It's 16, 17 fantasy points. We haven't seen the ceiling game yet. And I think it happens against Tampa Bay.
Wow. Interesting. Would you rather have Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson?
I have Lamar Jackson ranked higher.
Wow. Okay. Would you rather have Russell Wilson or Philip Rivers?
I have those two back to back in my rankings. I have Rivers one spot higher. So I would probably go with Rivers.
Okay. Interesting. I'm going to have a decision to make on Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson. He's a free agent in this league I'm in the playoffs. And I appeared on Fantasy Football Today on Wednesday. People should subscribe to Fantasy Football Today. It's the best fantasy podcast on the planet. Heath was on there. Jamie popped in late. Adam Azier, of course, hosting I'm trying to think of a nice word for Azier. I can't think of one. The oddly compelling Adam Azier. How's that?
Yeah. Yeah. Very compelling.
Yeah. No, I find, I love Adam, but he is oddly compelling. But I was I'm starting Jordy Nelson, probably going to be starting Damian Williams in this league. How are you going to handle the Chiefs running back situation? Knowing as we record this that we haven't seen a Chiefs injury report for Wednesday yet, I don't believe.
That does make it difficult to talk about on something that's going to show up on Thursday when everybody has more information than I do. But what I'll say is if Spencer Ware is active for this game,
it does.
He's most likely going to be in my lineup.
Mm, really?
He's a low end number two running back. There are guys like Jeff Wilson and Jalen Samuels, assuming those starting running backs are out, that I would start over him. But I think Ware's probably still pretty safe for 16-ish touches. And this is going to be a high scoring game. So the chances are he got a little unlucky last week, actually.
Yep.
It was kind of weird because 2 weeks ago he wasn't very good, scored a touchdown, and so he had a good fantasy day. Last week he was much better. But Damian Williams stole both the touchdowns, and so in fantasy, Ware wasn't as good as he should have been. Williams, I think, is a low-end flex if Ware plays. If Ware's out, Williams is you're starting him.
Interesting. If Ware is out, Williams is a must-start, right?
Right.
If Ware plays, you would rather have Ware over Williams, is what you're saying.
I would, because I still expect him to get a lot more touches.
I'm worried that the hamstring thing, I actually dropped Ware in several leagues. Yeah, I mean, like, you're in the playoff push, you know, I mean, he's not going to get claimed. I don't think he's going to play. I mean, and I'm saying this on, you know, we don't know what happens on Wednesday. I mean, like, I'll probably look stupid, but a shoulder injury and a hamstring injury, I know this game is huge, but I can't imagine that they want to risk really messing up Spencer Ware's legs or shoulders on a short week when he looked really banged up, and knowing how much is at stake for the long haul for the Chiefs. That's sort of where I land on the Spencer Ware thing.
I understand that line of reasoning, but at the same time, Tyreek Hill's got a foot injury, which is terrible for wide receivers.
Yes.
And looked like he broke his arm on one of the plays
earlier
in that game. And he is leaving no doubt that he's playing.
He was limited on Tuesday. Ware did not practice.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's probably right there. Damian Williams should not. I prioritize Damian Williams over Kenneth Dixon in most of my leagues where I had a waiver situation there, because I think that Williams gives you more upside. I don't really want to start either one if I can help it, but the state of lineups these days is too too much influx not to do that. On the other side of the football, the Chargers, we saw Austin Eckler did not practice on Tuesday. He is listed as with a neck and a concussion. How fun is that? Melvin Gordon actually back at practice Tuesday. That means that Melvin Gordon and Justin Jackson look like the likely people to play if Gordon plays. I guess Gordon's not likely. Gordon's still up in the air coming into Thursday. If Melvin Gordon is active, you're starting him, right?
100%. And if he's not active, you're starting Justin Jackson 100%.
Okay.
Either way is a top 10 running back.
Either one is a top 10 running back. Wow. Okay. Do you start?
Because this Chiefs defense, and it's weird because they faced a lot of teams that chop up the running back touches. But you look what they've given up to the running back position, and it's like 2,200 yards and 16 touchdowns. Mm. If Melvin Gordon's out, Justin Jackson's Detrez Newsom is not getting that many touches. I messed his first name up, but no one will know.
I said that it was Ian McKenzie, it's Isaiah McKenzie.
Isaiah McKenzie, yes.
I said it was Ian McKenzie, and Bill's Reddit got mad at me.
We do have some breaking news that's not actually breaking news to anyone but us. No one's listening as this is breaking news to it. I mean, we're going to make this more and more accurate podcast.
Bum, 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 bum.
Spencer Ware did not practice on Wednesday
And
is doubtful on Thursday night.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that I said what I said because now I sound smarter. I don't think you can play Spencer Ware. That's my take. I mean, again, Heath expert here and Heath also the Chiefs guy. And as he's digesting this, I'm sort of filibustering, but I personally, did you get an alert from that or do you just refresh Twitter just in case?
I just refresh Twitter.
Okay.
It's a habit because Adam always has all the reads in the podcast.
No, sure.
And so
oh my God. And he sends these notes. He's like, I need you guys to keep the reads under a minute. It's like, dude, I have to hit the fast forward 15 second button 17 times on your podcast.
Nobody does that. They all listen to our sponsors.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't hit the fast forward. I'm sorry. I didn't say
Melvin Gordon is questionable.
So Melvin Gordon more likely to play than Spencer Ware. Doubtful.
Yes.
Wait, there's not even a doubtful. Wait, what? There's not even a doubtful designation anymore. What are they talking about?
He is listed as doubtful. There's not a probable anymore. There is a doubtful.
Oh, there is a doubtful. Right.
Yes.
Okay. He's not playing.
No, I don't think so.
Doubtful means on the Chiefs, on Chiefs.com, doubtful, unlikely to play.
Yes.
And
Damian Williams is a start.
Okay. Fire up Damian Williams in all your leagues. I would guess that by the time people are listening to Spencer Ware will not be playing, where we will know, or we have a better idea. I would not start Spencer Ware. I would start Damian Williams. Heath agreed. I'm agreeing with Heath, basically. But I do think that this is the smart thing by the Chiefs. And I think that it makes Damian Williams a spicy play. Would you make him your MVP or your captain in daily fantasy?
Oh, I'm sure he's ridiculously cheap. 100%. Yes.
Yeah. That's the guy to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Melvin Gordon, if he's questionable, what do you do if Melvin Gordon is active with Justin Jackson?
He's going to be a flex because even when Melvin Gordon was 100% healthy, Austin Eckler was getting 8 to 10 touches a game. And now Melvin Gordon's questionable. So I would expect you're going to see double-digit touches for Justin Jackson in this game. And listen, we viewed him last week as he's probably not going to catch very many passes. Because he was sharing with Austin Eckler, and we knew Austin Eckler's the receiving back guy.
Yep.
Melvin Gordon's a great receiver, but Justin Jackson caught a ton of balls in college.
Yep.
So I think he can fill that Eckler role pretty well.
Okay. Let's move along to other news. Carson Wentz, unlikely to play according to a report. Actually, I guess Doug Peterson basically admitted it, and then Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reported that Carson Wentz is unlikely to play in Week 15 against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. And it's possible that the Eagles shut him down for the season. The fantasy, the real life implications of this aren't that big because I think it's smart of the Eagles. They are probably not making the playoffs at 6-7. They need a lot of help from Minnesota. If they lose to the Rams and Minnesota wins, you know, you're basically, if Minnesota wins two, they're done. You have a quarterback with a bad back. I think it is wise to sit him down and play Nick Foles. That's why you have Nick Foles.
Well, it's a similar situation to in Baltimore. You've got a Super Bowl winning quarterback sitting there on the bench. And, Baltimore, I think, made the right decision sticking with Lamar Jackson. Philadelphia is going to go to their Super Bowl winning quarterback, Nick Foles, the Carson Wentz doppelganger. statistically at least.
Would you like to go ahead and bash Carson Wentz, or do you want to wait?
I don't want to bash Carson Wentz. I do think it's phenomenal when you look at Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. They have the same exact touchdown rate. They have the same exact interception rate. Foles has averaged two tenths of a yard more per attempt.
92.5 passer rating for Wentz and 91.6 passer rating for Foles, as you tweeted.
It's all just in fun and games, obviously. This is bad news for a receiving core that was already bad news.
Yeah.
They've got Aguilar, they've got Tate, they've got Alshon, and we have no consistency with which they've been used.
Right.
It's kind of like the Bears situation with Allen Robinson, Kaylor Gabriel, and Anthony Miller.
Good comp.
Any of those guys, if you give them 8 to 10 targets a game, are good fantasy options. We have no reason to believe any of them are getting 8 to 10 targets. One of them will, but who knows who it'll be. I don't want to start any Eagles wide receivers. Zach Ertz is still a must-start tight end. When Foles played earlier this year, he was, one, terrible, and two, he threw 52% of his passes to either Nelson Aguilar or Zach Ertz. Now, that was before Alshon and Tate, but it tells you the types of throws he was making. Mm. It was all underneath.
Charlie checks.
So I would expect that Tate's going to lead the receivers and targets, but I don't want to start any of them. And I think it hurts the running backs as well.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Rams have played this funnel defense most of the year where they'll just allow you to run it for 4.5 yards per carry because they don't really care until you get to the red zone. And they don't want to give up any big plays. Well, now they have no reason to fear big plays.
I was stunned to see, do you know what the line moved when Wentz was, when this news of, and Wentz is not officially out by any stretch, but do you know what the line shift was once it became reported that Wentz would not be playing and that Foles would be playing?
What I saw, and there are a lot of different sources, so immediate reactions can vary, but last, what I saw was it went from 9 to 11.
Yeah, I was surprised it was only that little. That says a lot about Carson Wentz.
Well, it, or Nick Foles.
Okay. Maybe they're the same guy. Right. Maybe they're the same guy. I like your...
I was surprised that the over-under hasn't come down at all yet.
I was too.
I think that's what should happen. I don't think this should be a game with a 54 over-under total. And the Wentz thing, it makes the Rams one of the top defenses of the week, obviously.
Mm.
It worries me a little bit about Jared Goff.
In case they get up big and they just unleash Todd Gurley the rest of the game.
We have definitely seen them go to the just throw it 30 times and run it a ton in games that they're going to win. And so Goff could still throw a couple touchdown passes. I haven't reevaluated where I have him ranked right now. He's a top 5 quarterback. He may fall down more into that 8 to 10 range with Rivers and Wilson, but I think I'd still prefer Goff to Rivers.
I think the thing with Rivers could get in a shootout. Goff is unlikely to get in a shootout. But he could put up a 4-touchdown game and then they could just hand it to Todd Gurley and win 35-14. You know, I don't think that's out of the question at all. And I agree with you on that under. I like that under as well. There's actually a lot of high scoring games out there this week. You have the Patriots and the Steelers at 52.5, Eagles Rams at 53.5, Saints Panthers 51.5. And of course the Chiefs and Chargers at 53.5. And it's been climbing, that last one. Other quarterback chatter, Cam Newton, speaking of that Panthers game, Cam Newton and Drew Brees. What are you doing with these guys on Monday night? Because they have been staples of fantasy teams all year. Cam, as I told you last week and I think was confirmed, is injured.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not healthy. He's facing a very good defense, and he's facing a Saints team that when they're on the road likes to play defense and run the ball. I don't have much interest in Cam Newton this week.
I have zero interest in Cam Newton this week. Has Cam, yeah, he's not running the ball anymore.
Right. He had, in the first 9 games this season, he had at least 7 rush attempts in 8 of those games. He has 1 game like that since week 9.
Yep.
The one that I struggle with, there's a group of 3 quarterbacks there. It's Cam Newton, it's Aaron Rodgers, and it's Josh Allen. And right now, I have it ranked Newton, Rodgers, Allen, but I kind of want to put Allen ahead of both of them.
I would rather start Josh Allen than Cam Newton. I mean, Josh Allen is going to run. I mean, he's just running all over the place.
Yeah, the problem that I have with Josh Allen's rushing production, and he has run for more yards than Lamar Jackson 3 weeks in a row, but he's running the ball like 8 or 9 times a game.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing we talked about with Wentz last year or with Deshaun Watson. He's averaging 10 yards per carry. you don't average 10 yards per carry.
No, you certainly don't.
And so if he runs it 8 or 9 times a game and averages 6 or 7 yards per carry, which is still outstanding for a running quarterback, then you're looking at 50 rushing yards.
Yep.
And he's got to succeed with his arm. Or better yet, he's got to succeed with his receiver's hands.
So you would rather start Cam Newton than Aaron Rodgers? I would not rather start Cam Newton than Aaron Rodgers. I would rather have Aaron Rodgers and by a substantial margin. I'm surprised that Cam's thrown 83 passes in his last two games. He's been much less accurate in his last two games at Tampa Bay, at Cleveland. I know they're at home. It's a primetime game. This is a save Ron Rivera's job. I think that he will bring everything he's got left in the tank for this game. But I also don't know that, like, I could see Cam Newton suffering, like, getting knocked out for the season on a rushing play where he goes, tries to leap over into the end zone and takes some massive hit to the shoulder. He's thrown a pick in each of his last 5 games. You know, he has, like we said, he has 1 game over 50 rushing yards in his last 5 games. He has no rushing touchdowns. They're not running him in the red zone. And he has 1 game with more than 2 passing touchdowns, including 0 against the Browns.
This is not a statement about liking Cam Newton. I don't disagree with anything you said. I think he's my number 17 quarterback.
Right now. Okay. All right. So you have him way down there. You have Rodgers way down there.
Here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers for the season is basically a borderline number one quarterback. He's like 11th or 12th in fantasy points per game. He's been even worse than that over the last 3 weeks. He's facing the Chicago Bears.
They're very good.
Arguably the best defense in the NFL.
They're very good. He is very good in Chicago and against, he has 45 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in his career against the Bears. He's 16-4 against them.
Those are numbers. And it's kind of like, that's the reverse of the Philip Rivers thing. But I'll say the same thing that I said to Azer when he brought up, cause he read that tweet on the Fantasy Football Day podcast.
Sure.
And he wanted me to provide some analysis. And I'll say, okay, I provided that and I think it's fun and I think it provides a good talking point for having reservations about Rivers. But his performance in Arrowhead the last 4 years is not affecting my projection.
Right. You're not going to tie Philip Rivers to something that he struggled with in previous years. Cause I mean, his offense.
And so I'm not going to move Aaron Rodgers up just because he's been good against the Bears in the past. Cause the Bears haven't had Khalil Mack in the past.
That's a very fair point. I'm trying to load Aaron Rodgers. He's only played 2 games in Chicago since 2015 because of an injury. And just looking at them, I do think it matters. Like, 19 of 31, 252 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in 2016. And then in 2015, 18 of 23, 189 yards and 3 touchdowns. That would be a pretty incredible day. That was his 2015 year. I just think that there's the idea. I can see him going in there and carving them up. And somehow having a historical day that keeps the Packers playoff hopes alive. Bears fans are way too excited about the prospect of ending Aaron Rodgers' season. Like, that doesn't happen, Heath. You don't shoot Thanos in the face.
And this, like, if this is my blind spot,
this is
those types of narratives. Because
right.
I'm going to project the game based on what a player has done and what the expectation is from Vegas, and I'm going to roll with it.
That is the smarter way to do it rather than, I'm siding with Azer on this and that concerns me deeply. It is a narrative based approach I'm taking with this one. Okay. What about, Drew Brees? Are you starting him at Carolina? Panthers defense, by the way, is worse than the Chiefs according to DVOA.
I have Brees as a borderline start right now. I would start him over Cam. I would start him over Rodgers. I'd start him over Josh Allen. I'd rather start Rivers or Russell Wilson though. So he's right there at that QB 12 range. Obviously, I think if the Saints had decided on Monday afternoon, you know what? We would like to throw the ball 40 times. We'd like for Drew Brees to throw for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. They can do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Panthers are going to provide resistance to that goal. We'd have nothing from what the Saints have done on the road in the last couple of years that would say that's what they're going to do, especially outdoors.
That's true. This is a spot too where if you look at Carolina's defense, you know, they're actually 8th. Well, they are 8th against the run and 29th against the pass. So it may be a spot where Luke Kuechly, you know, I mean, it's a narrative thing again, but like Kuechly's had a bad year. Maybe he, it's like, we got to get up and slow down this rushing attack. And they try to do it and they sell out and Breeze throws bombs all day to Mike Thomas. I'd be fine with that.
That'd be perfectly fine. There are three quarterbacks right in that range that I struggle with, and it's Breeze, it's Cousins, and it's Dak Prescott.
I would be worried about Cousins this week.
I am. He was a top five quarterback for me on Monday. I don't think Miami's defense is actually very good, especially outside of Miami. I expected a bounce back from the Vikings, but we heard all throughout that broadcast what Mike Zimmer's problem was with the offense.
Yes, we did.
And it's that they were way too modern.
Yeah.
Like he was calling Brian Schottenheimer and saying, who would you suggest for this job?
Yeah.
I would like to be more like you guys.
He's like, hey, Pete, listen, I want to buy Brian Schottenheimer from you. What will it cost for me to get Brian Schottenheimer?
So I think Cousins will be efficient against the Dolphins. I'm not sure that he'll throw it enough to be good in fantasy. And then Dak, man, I really think that I should rank Dak a lot higher than I have, but there have been so few games this year with him throwing multiple touchdown passes.
Yeah.
And he's got Zeke, and Zeke is getting 40 touches a game. And so that range of quarterback, you can see a lot of upside and a lot of reason to be excited, and you can see a lot of reason for caution.
I also think with Dak, a lot of these points that he's been putting up lately are a result, and this, you know, this can keep happening because he's good at it, but Amari Cooper gets these third down conversion catches and then just jailbreaks him because people won't tackle him for whatever reason. You know, it's like he catches a slant and then all of a sudden he's gone. And I really think that the defense for the Colts will be more prepared than the defense for the Eagles. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and break down Jameis Winston as well as the Buccaneers.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
We mentioned Josh Allen. We mentioned Lamar Jackson. What about Jameis Winston against Baltimore's defense?
I've gone back and forth on Jameis as well. Right now I have him behind that Breeze, Cousins, Prescott group, but still ahead of Cam and Rodgers.
Okay.
I do think Baltimore's defense is very good. This is the biggest test maybe that Jameis has faced all year. He's playing some of his best football right now, protecting the football, passing accurately. They're not going to be able to run the ball on Baltimore, so I still think he throws it 35 to 40 times. But I don't think they have much success getting into the end zone. So I would really be hesitant. And in a 4 point per pass touchdown league, I like Jameis okay. And I don't think he's a bad tournament play on FanDuel because his price is way down because of the matchup. I do think there is some upside there, but I wouldn't want to trust him in a seasonal league with my season on the line.
You know that, I was telling my buddy Drew Evans, lifelong, best friend growing up, and, give him a little shout on the pod. I don't think he listens. We'll find out. He told me, and I don't know if you will know this more than I would, that Josh Allen is more expensive than Aaron Rodgers in daily fantasy this week.
It depends on the site.
I think it may have been DraftKings, but I'm,
yes.
Yeah, that's,
I would absolutely believe that. He has been a lot better than Aaron Rodgers. We had that talk on FFT today, on CBS Sports HQ, because Jamie and I both have Aaron Rodgers one spot ahead of Josh Allen. And I think we both want to rank Josh Allen ahead of Aaron Rodgers. We just don't have the guts.
Can't pull it. That's fine. I don't blame you for not having the guts to do that. That would be insanity. Well, Big Ben, unstartable, right? Startable? Unstartable? How can you start him when he's hurt?
I've gone back and forth on this. I don't. How hurt do you think Big Ben really is?
I think Big Ben feeds off being hurt.
Yes.
I think he loves it. He loves drama. He loves being hurt. He's like my wife.
Do you think he missed as much time as he needed to last week, more time than he needed to, or came back when he shouldn't have?
All of the above.
I think they lost that game because of Ben's drama.
Yeah, 100%. Bring it back. Get him on the field and let him play.
I don't think he's coming out of the game against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Mm,
that's a good point. And they need this, win because they have to win two of their last three if they want to have a sure guarantee that they make the playoffs. We're going to move on to running back and wide receiver discussion. Can you trust the Tampa receivers this week? Adam Humphries, Chris Godwin, let down a lot of people. Godwin didn't have a good week, did he? He had a terrible week. Both of them did.
Yeah. I think trust is the wrong word, but it's not a very good week for wide receiver. Like, you get past Julian Edelman at number 15 or 16, and I don't necessarily love Julian Edelman all the time. And it's guys like DJ Moore, like Tyler Boyd, like Allen Robinson, like Dante Pettis. So I think if you're in a league that starts three wide receivers, you're probably still starting all three of them. I've got Evans that ranked the highest, just barely inside the top 20. I expect that Humphries will have the most success relative to what he normally does, because I think Baltimore's a little susceptible over the middle. And Godwin is the one that worries me the most because he's so touchdown dependent.
Yeah, he has not been great outside of the scores. Let me ask you this. Between these four guys, how do you sort of view them? Because I think that they're fringe guys that are probably either owned or maybe you could scoop them up and play them, or maybe they've been sitting on your bench all year. Allen Robinson, Larry Fitzgerald, Humphries / Godwin, and Jordy Nelson, who I was stumping for on the FFT podcast.
Yeah, I'm not going to be as excited about Jordy as you are, and I understand why you are. The targets have been good, and I think that Raiders-Bengals game is one of the hardest to figure out.
It's impossible.
Terrible, terrible teams, but you don't know if the terrible offense or the terrible defense is going to overcome the other on either side of the ball. And so I'm just kind of taking a pass on most of those guys except for Mixon and Doug Martin. I would rank them Humphries, Robinson, and who else was on the list?
Nelson and Larry Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald and Nelson.
Okay. And the Fitzgerald thing leads me to a question about Atlanta. I believe you mentioned the league's worst offense against the league's worst defense. Something has to give, Heath. The Atlanta Falcons hosting the Arizona Cardinals. I also said on FFT, and I was not trying to disparage your rankings of David Johnson in the podcast. By the way, for Thursday night, just to wrap it back up, Tyreek Hill, questionable. Eric Berry, questionable. Austin Eckler, out for that game.
Yeah, and I think with questionable guys, I'm just going to assume they're playing.
Yeah, I think questionable in a game of this magnitude, they're probably playing, and Melvin Gordon, as you mentioned, questionable. David Johnson, I think, and I was really looking at Jamie and Dave's rankings when I came up with that. I think what have we always said about pass-catching running backs and the Atlanta Falcons? This has to be the week. This has to be the time that David Johnson goes Keel Argo and salvages a fairly pedestrian fantasy season for those of us that invested a heavy first-round pick in him.
I will be very interested to see. This is the final proof. Because a lot of people doubt defenses versus certain positions. And the Falcons have a defensive scheme that just says everyone drop back and we'll tackle everyone in front of us.
Yep.
You are facing a team that has Larry Fitzgerald, who isn't running more than 10 yards down the field, and nobody else at wide receiver. I think J.J. Nelson is their number two. There's another guy whose name is Sherfield, and I think it was supposed to be Sheffield, and they misspelled it on the birth certificate because no one's ever been named Sherfield before. So
another guy. Let me hit Sherfield.
This would be the time to cover David Johnson, but I don't think the Falcons will. I like David Johnson a lot. He's a top 10 running back in both formats.
And with Larry Fitzgerald, are you starting him in three wide receiver situations, or?
I'm a little bit nervous about Larry Fitzgerald. I love Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's one of the top three receivers of all time.
Yes.
He's lost another step.
Yep.
And there's only so many steps you can lose. And there's just nobody else to take pressure off of him. I think he misses John Brown. He definitely misses Christian Kirk. There's just no – you can put three guys on Larry Fitzgerald and just not cover anyone else.
Yeah. We talked about this, I think, back when you first started coming on the podcast, like in week three or four, and it was like, oh crap, I bought Larry Fitzgerald and I haven't dropped him. I don't think anybody's dropped him. It's like out
you
of,
can't drop him.
It's like out of respect for Larry Fitzgerald. And he had a streak where he caught a couple of touchdowns a week. But if he doesn't get a touchdown, you're looking at 5 fantasy points and it's just a nightmare. Atlanta, by the way, 28th in DVOA against number one wide receivers. Also, 29th in DVOA against pass catching running backs. Surprisingly not last. The team that is last, the Cincinnati Bengals. We mentioned that Oakland, Cincy game. You love Doug Martin this week, right?
I love Doug Martin. Is as close to a must start running back as Doug Martin has been in the last couple of years, or will probably ever be again. The Bengals are terrible defensively. Martin is getting more work, 16 carries in his last 2 games. The Cincinnati Bengals in the last 8 weeks have allowed 9 running backs to score 14 fantasy points in non-PPR. That's more running backs than games. 14 fantasy points in non-PPR. 6 of those 9 running backs have scored 20 non-PPR fantasy points.
Wow.
It's amazing how bad they are against running backs.
Oh, yeah, because that little SHI Adam Azer started Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson against me in a playoff league last week and paddled me. He paddled me. He destroyed me. Both those guys outscored Todd Gurley. How infuriating is that?
And that brings up a great point. It's not been good. Like, some of them, it was Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, too, but Peyton Barber, 14 fantasy points.
Trash teams just beat
Gus Edwards, I think, had like 18 fantasy points. It's just, it does not matter. If you give a guy 15 touches against the Bengals, he will score 14 fantasy points.
That's outstanding. Yeah, they've given up rush yards over the, and it's not even like, you don't even need it to be just the rushing yards. They've given up 85 rushing yards to the Chargers, but Eckler and Justin Jackson are catching passes left and right and just popping into the end zone.
In the last 8 weeks, they've given up 1,100 total yards to running backs.
That is incredible.
And like 15 touchdowns.
The Bengals haven't won since October, by the way.
I will say the same thing I said on FFT, though. I feel really, really insecure about betting against Marvin Lewis getting to 8-8.
That's
he does that.
He is El Cacarocha. He will not die. Am I crazy that I love Dalvin Cook this week? No, I'm not. We talked about this already. The Vikings are going to pound the rock. I also think along those lines, if you're a Dalvin Cook owner and for whatever, like I dropped Latavius Murray in a league where I have Dalvin Cook because I needed somebody else for a flex position because we didn't know about Melvin Gordon. Grab Latavius Murray if he's available in your league. Cause if Dalvin Cook pulls a hamstring this week, Latavius Murray gets the Lions next week and that would be a massive boost and he would be the first guy off the waiver wire.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in DFS, because it's a weird week with the Saturday games, the main slate is smaller. It goes back to like it was during the bye weeks. I love the combination of David Johnson and Dalvin Cook on FanDuel. That's 6,200 for Dalvin Cook on FanDuel.
Not bad.
Yes.
And now, of course, all these high-powered players are playing in the, you have the Saints and the Panthers on Monday, the 4 teams on Saturday, and then the Chiefs and the Chargers on Thursday. So it is a limited slate.
6 of my top 9 running backs this week are not on the main slate.
Wow. That is a substantial number. What teams are you avoiding this week? Who don't you like this week?
There are 2 games that are absolutely disgusting, and amazingly, the Bengals and Raiders is not one of them. The Lions at Buffalo.
38.5 over under.
Blech. Disgusting. Blech. Probably terrible weather because I'm pretty sure it's always terrible weather in Buffalo.
That's not the lowest over-under total of the week, though, I just realized.
Exactly. I saved the worst for last. What? Washington at Jacksonville.
What a terrible game.
Josh Johnson against Cody Kessler.
Mark Sanchez got benched for Josh Johnson. Where's your head at? You're rich.
It's deservedly so.
Sure, for sure. Are you starting the Jaguars defense, though?
Yes, 100%. I don't mind streaming the Washington defense.
Oh, that's a good point. Do you think that the Jaguars defense is the best defense this week?
No. They are a top 5 defense for me this week. I like the Vikings a lot because the only thing that Mike Zimmer's philosophy for offense is good for is your defense. they will be well rested. They're going to sit on the sidelines during a lot of long drives and they're going to get after Tannehill. I love the Texans against Sam Darnold. And Jaguars are 3 for me. Rams are right there too now.
So you would go, you like the Vikings over the Jaguars?
I do.
The thing that worries me about the Jaguars is that they might just lay down.
For sure. But I still think, like, if they completely and totally lay down, I think you need a 15-play drive from Josh Johnson to score.
That's a good point. They've been very good at home this year. It's weird. I mean, it's not even weird. It's just like they vacillate wildly in terms of their defensive performance at home versus on the road.
There's a lot of ego on that defense.
There is.
And it causes them to intermittently quit and then avenge themselves throughout the season.
that's a good way of putting it, actually. Yeah, that is what happens. They give up. Would you rather have the Jaguars or the Seahawks defense?
I'll go with Jacksonville.
Okay.
I think the 49ers will score a few points against Seattle. They're still a top 10 defense for me, but behind most of the good ones.
Okay. Let's get to some questions from listeners, because we have plowed through this podcast already. I think we talked about quarterbacks for an hour. It's fine. I like this one from Matthew Smith at Smith57 Matt. These are on Twitter. You can follow Heath on Twitter at Heath Cummings Senior. You can follow me at Will Brinson. Follow the Pick Six Pod at Pick Six Pod. WTF, do I do two running backs, two wide receivers, and a flex, non-PPR? I mean, come on, buddy. Zeke, Chubb, Mixon, Cook, Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, and T.Y. Hilton. What a horrible life he lives.
That's just bragging.
Yeah, it really is. You're starting Zeke, you're starting Mixon, you're starting Dalvin Cook, right? Those are the two running backs in the flex.
We will not agree on that.
Okay.
Because I like Nick Chubb a lot.
You would start, okay, all right, well let's, okay, you have to start Zeke and Michael Thomas.
Yes.
Right, those are two guaranteed starts. So then you have to pick one running back, one receiver, and a flex from Chubb, Mixon, Cook, Cooper, and Hilton.
And it's PPR?
Non-PPR.
Non-PPR. I would go with Chubb.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Mixon. And I would go with T.Y. Hilton.
Okay, there you have it from
here. I hate sitting Amari Cooper. He's my number four wide receiver.
Sure, but, I mean, Hilton has a...
Actually, full disclosure, I have T.Y. Hilton and Amari Cooper ranked ahead of Michael Thomas this week.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I would not want to bench Michael Thomas on Monday night.
I don't want to bench any of those players.
Sure, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Look, this is the problem with a league like this, because it's clearly a 10-team league. I think clearly a 10-team league. If you have Cook and Zeke and Thomas, you're gonna be mad because you can't make the right decision. Like, you're gonna get burned on a fluke situation there.
In my rankings, you have four of my top 12 running backs and three of my top six receivers.
I like it. Okay, that's pretty good for him. This is from let's see, what's his name? Free Fall WOWAD. He says, I need to pick, three running backs. He's obviously starting Kamara, so he needs to pick two running backs out of Tariq Cohen, Damian Williams, Gus Edwards, Justin Jackson, and James Conner, who's probably not going to play.
Did you say non-PPR?
It is. He did standard scoring. Yes.
Standard scoring. I don't have Damian Williams ranked yet.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to have him ranked ahead of Tariq Cohen.
No.
So Cohen for sure. Who are the other guys? Jackson's not going to be part of it.
Gus Edwards or Damian Williams is what it comes down to.
In non-PPR, I'm probably going with Gus.
I think Gus, I'm not buying the Kenneth Dixon thing. Are you buying Kenneth Dixon?
I buy him as much as I buy Rashad Penny. Like, they're both getting about the same number of carries, 7, 8, 9 carries a game, but those two teams run so much that the lead back still gets 16 to 20 carries.
And if you break one against a bad defense,
right.
Below, and I think Gus feels like the guy that they're going to lean on if they're up big.
Right.
Maybe. Cause he doesn't need to be involved in the passing game. Dave Anders, Mayfield or Winston, standard league.
I like Jameis Winston more. We didn't talk about that Browns-Broncos game at all, but I think Denver at home against a rookie quarterback with playoff hope still alive probably plays good defense.
Yeah, R.J. White pointed out to me that Denver, the one thing that that Denver, like basically it's not – Cleveland is good, but they're not a good matchup for the Broncos, and that they're not great at pass protecting. And we've seen Baker hasn't played a lot of great defenses.
Right.
And he really struggled at Houston against a good defense. This could be a spot for him to struggle as well. Jordan Krasner at Jordy_tennis wants to know Tyler Boyd or DJ Moore.
I have those two back to back in my rankings. I do have DJ Moore one spot higher.
Okay. This guy, what are you doing? Are you asking me the same question twice, jerk? Get out of here. Derek Pender wants to know, Wilson Jr., Drake.
Jeff.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Wilson Jr. Justin Wilson, as I called him, apparently all last week. Jeff Wilson, Kenyon Drake, or I assume Justin Jackson at flex, half-point PPR.
We're going to go with Jeff Wilson as long as Melvin plays.
Okay. Chris McDonald, Diggs, Cooks, or Ware?
Well, we don't think Ware's going to play now. So it comes down to Diggs and Cooks, who I have back-to-back, and it depends on format. I like Cooks more in non-PPR. I like Diggs more in PPR.
Okay, I like it. How do you, James wants to know, how do you recover from losing in the first round where you went 12-1 during the season, losing to a 6-7-8 seed who played Derrick Henry in the playoffs?
The best beer I had this week was Zombie Dust.
What did you think about Zombie Dust?
I thought it was very, very good.
Yeah. It's just crisp and clean and an old school. It's not hazy, right? Like it's an old school American IPA.
Pale ale.
Pale ale. Yeah. It's a pale ale. Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very good. Solid beer.
DJM at MonkeyKing42 wants to know, how do I get invited to the Brinson Cummings beer night? We don't have a beer night. We will.
We're going to have one next year.
We're planning a trip. We're doing a live podcast somewhere where we talk about
during
a brewery,
the preseason.
During the preseason. And we'll do maybe we could do a beer enthusiast, fantasy league.
100% in.
And so everybody, maybe we'll name the divisions next year after beer. That could be, how we do it. Okay.
What would be very helpful is if you tweeted at us and telling us you'd be involved, you'd love to come to something like this.
Yes.
So that we can show our bosses that people would like to come to something like this.
You could also tweet. In fact, if you listen to this podcast, let's try a little Stephen Colbert trick here. If you listen to this podcast, tweet at EKAYCBS. That's EKCBS. He's our boss. He's my boss, our podcast boss. And tell him we want Heath and Brinson beer night. Hashtag beer night or hashtag Heath Brinson beer night. Or beer league or something like that. And we will see if we can get that thing to happen. And if he gets a ton of tweets, it'll be hilarious. So Zombie Dust, that was your beer of that's your beer, huh?
Yeah, it was a good beer. Very good beer.
You know what? I told you on the FFT show that I went to, Krangbin, the concert on Tuesday night.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm still
recovering from it, clearly. The thing that blows my mind, Heath, and I don't think we appreciate this enough, is that now in 2018 at sporting events and concerts, you can go and drink craft beer. You couldn't do that 10 years ago. Like I drank a bunch of Coors Light on Tuesday night because, you know, I wouldn't want to drink 18 IPAs, but like you could go and like, there was the Crank Arm, which is a local brewery just down the street in Raleigh. I got a Crank Arm, like Mosaic Pale Ale, and I was able to sip on that at a concert. You couldn't do that 10 years ago. It's awesome.
Right, yeah, and even 5 years ago, you would go to a baseball game, and they'd have whatever cheap beer for $8 a beer, and then the craft beer was twice that.
Or
the prices have even come down a little bit as well.
Yeah, or it was like Blue Moon. It's like, we have craft beer. We have Blue Moon. It's like, I don't want your Blue Moon. Get out of here. DFS. I forgot to ask you about DFS. We talked about it. Anybody that pops out to you besides those two running backs, Cook and David? I think the Cook and David Johnson combo is a potential league winner or like a tournament winner because I don't think people are going to be too heavy on those guys, right?
Right. At quarterback, I love Andrew Luck.
Ooh.
I am going to play a lot of Lamar Jackson. The other running back I'll have a ton of is Jalen Samuels, assuming Connor's still out. I think pass-catching running backs can have some success against New England. At wide receiver, I'm going to play just a whole bunch of T.Y. Hilton and Amari Cooper because they are two of my top three wide receivers this week, and neither of them are in the top five in wide receiver pricing.
How is Amari Cooper not in the top five in wide receiver pricing yet? That seems impossible.
I believe because that was a Sunday night game, right?
Against the Cowboys?
Yes.
Against the Eagles Sunday afternoon.
It was late enough to where his price was not affected by the 3-touchdown game. So on FanDuel, he is 6,600 this week. He might just be in all my lineups.
That is probably a smart play. Very interesting. All right. The one, the only Heath Cummings. Thank you as always, my friend. We will, but good luck to everybody in your playoff matchups, not your championship, hopefully your semifinal. And, we will talk to you next week, man.
Later.